Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Ralf Heuwing, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's preliminary figures 2013, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, thank you, Mrs. Pavis, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ralf Dieter speaking. My colleague, Ralf Heuwing, and I welcome you to Dürr's conference call on our preliminary 2013 results. I will start by giving you an overview of our results, and Ralf Heuwing will go into our financial figures in more detail afterwards. I will close with the outlook and guidance for 2014, after which we will take your questions. Let's start with page number four. We achieved all of the targets we set for 2013 and actually exceeded them with respect to earnings and cash flow. In terms of profitability, 2013 was the best year ever in Dürr's history. At 2.387 million, incoming orders 2013 again reached a high level and were straight in the middle of our guidance range between 2.3 and 2.5 billion. Although the automobile industry did not spend quite as much on capacity extensions, it stepped up modernization spending at existing plants, and the book-to-bill ratio stood at 1.0. We operated at 100% capacity utilization, even though we hired more than 1,300 additional employees worldwide during the last 2 years. Thanks to our high order backlog of 2.2 billion, we also have high visibility regarding sales in 2014. The quality of orders has been unchanged on a high level. At 2.47 billion, sales rose to only a minor extent due to some project delays caused by our customers. EBIT came in at 203 million after 177 million the year before, resulting in a margin of 8.4% after 7.4% the year before. Net profit was up by 27% to 141 million. Earnings per share increased even more sharply after acquiring the outstanding 45% of the fully consolidated Agrankov Group. Operating and free cash flow were much stronger than expected and reached 329 million and 262 million respectively. On page 5 you see that, as in the past, the fourth quarter was the strongest quarter of the year. Sales revenues were up 3% and EBIT improved by 11 million year over year to 69 million with an EBIT margin of 10%. Operating cash flow came to 284 million in the last quarter. Cash flow was boosted by extraordinary high prepayments and progress billings towards the end of the year. The volume of prepayments exceeding the normal level amounted to 100 million. However, even on an adjusted basis, we achieved a very high net cash inflow, and incoming orders were down 8% year over year, similar to the total year 2013. Let's move to page 6. We received orders worth 1.287 million from the merchant markets, roughly 9% less than 2012. While we were very successful in the Brazilian market, conditions in Russia and India were still weaker. We recorded a temporary decline in China, although this had been expected following the strong order intake in the earlier years, and still on a very high level. Markets in North and South America were in good condition, and order intake in this region increased by 51% compared with 2012, and we expect further growth in 2014. As expected, new orders from Europe fell short of the previous year's figure, which had been pushed by two new larger plant projects. Order income decreased by 21% in Europe, including Germany. Moving to page 7, you see the familiar breakdown of sales revenues and incoming orders. And as discussed, the relative weighting of the emerging markets has not changed much compared to 2012. 54% of the orders came from the emerging markets, a picture we had in the years before, and I think it will look the same for 2014. China is still our largest single market by far, accounting for 27%, and the distribution of sales revenues follows this pattern of incoming orders with a time lag of 12 to 15 months. Ralf Heuwing will now take you through our financials and cash flow statements. Ralf.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. Let me start with page 9. Although sales were up only marginally, we achieved a substantial improvement in gross profit. Gross margin widened to 20%, up from 18% in the previous year, and exceeding the last high recorded in 2009. This further margin improvement was underpinned by high quality of the orders received, good order execution, and a growing proportion of the service business. Service revenues climbed by 6% to 536 million euros, accounting for 22% of sales, up from 21% in the previous year. Selling and admin expenses rose moderately by 5%. Our market success was largely due to the introduction of new, more efficient products. We have therefore continued our innovation strategy and increased our R&D spend by 16% to 43 million euros. Other operating income and expenses came out weaker by 6 million euros, predominantly due to write-offs in cleaning and filtration systems business in France and the United States. Net financial expenses reduced substantially by 10.8 million euros to 18.4 million, primarily reflecting the improved terms of our syndicated loan, as well as lower pension obligations and liabilities under long-term working hour accounts. Also, exceptional expenses had burdened net financial expenses in 2012. Despite the strong earnings improvement, the effective tax rate, in fact, declined to 24%. Owing to the improved earnings outlook in the U.S., we were able to use tax loss carryforwards by recognizing deferred tax assets. Net profits therefore reached a record high of 141 million euros. I will now move to page 11, the cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities was strongly positive at 329 million euros and 212 million euros up compared to last year's level. The positive development was based on strong growth in earnings and revenues. Net working capital decreased by 123 million euros due to our ongoing focus on net working capital management, as well as extraordinary high prepayments at year-end, as Ralf Dieter already explained. In 2012, net working capital had increased by 69 million euros. Free cash flow reached 262 million euros, even on a normalized basis, excluding extraordinary prepayments of about 100 million euros, we would have achieved a free cash flow of around 160 million euros. Just for information, we reduced our factoring and forfeiting level to zero in the fourth quarter of 2013 compared to 20 million euros at the year end of 2012. Accordingly, it had no relevance for our financing and cash flow last year. Let's move to page 12. Net working capital at the end of 2013 stood at minus 33 million euros, a negative figure for the first time in DIRS history. On an adjusted basis, net working capital was around 70 million euros, which equals about 10 days of working capital, and hence clearly below the target corridor of 20 to 25 days. As receivables were reduced, day sales outstanding dropped to 101 days. The overview of our work in process and progress billings on page 13 shows that the payments balance with our customers has worsened compared to the previous year. Prepayments from customers reported on the liability side were exceptionally high at 597 million euros as of the reporting date. There will be future receivables from contracts set against these liabilities on the asset side. Consequently, it would be misleading to view these prepayments in isolation. The balance of future receivables from contracts and customer prepayments was minus 207 million euros as of December 31, 2013, which is an increase of 97 million compared with the previous year. This amount, which represents net customer pre-financing, will generate generate future cash outflows, increase net working capital, and reduce cash and cash equivalents. We estimate that our business model allows for a normalized figure between minus 50 and minus 100 million euros. Page 14 shows that our equity rose by 79 million euros to 511 million at the end of 2013. This improvement was mainly driven by the net profit for the year, dividend payment for 2012, and currency translation losses of about 14 million had an opposite effect. Despite the increase in total assets, the equity ratio rose further from 23.9% in the previous year to 25.7% as of December 31st, 2013. We expect a further increase in 2014 and 2015, nearing the 30% mark. Our net financial status improved by 184 million euros to plus 281 million euros. Cash and cash equivalents amounted to 459 million euros at the end of the year. Finally, a few words about our funding situation. We are fully financed until late 2015. At the end of the year, we had unused cash credit lines of 50 million under the syndicated loan agreement and a cash position, as I said, of 459 million euros. Nevertheless, we are working to improve our funding situation further and make use of the favorable market environment. However, no decisions have been made at this stage. Let me finish with some remarks on page 15 on our capital efficiency. The increase in ROCE to an extraordinary 66% underscores the strength of our asset-light business model. Business volume grew by 75% between 2006 and 2013, while capital employed actually decreased by 27%. Our ROCE improved from just under 8% in 2006 to 66% today. We achieved this improvement by capital and cash flow transparency across our business entities, by tight capex and working capital controls, and by an incentive structure that rewards capital efficiency. We regard our high ROCE as one of the cornerstones of the Dürr financial story. I will now hand back to Ralf Dieter.
Thank you, Ralf. And I will continue on page 16. Capital spending rose by 58% to 51 million in 2013. We expanded our built 13 new facilities and technology centers under a CapEx program launched in 2012. As explained earlier during the year, we are increasing our capacities to accommodate the enlarged business volumes. At the same time, we have increased internal sourcing, which has had a positive effect on quality and functionality as margin as well. Complex products and components in particular are now being produced within the company to a greater extent than before. The proportion of internal sourcing increased from 24% to 29% in 2013. This expansion spending was largely completed by end of 2013, with trading expenses set to arise in 2014. We expect a CapEx budget of between 40 and 50 million in 2014, followed by a return to normal levels equaling this depreciation in 2015. Turning to page 17, EBIT grew nicely in 2013 across most of our portfolio. As incoming orders generally match sales revenues, good capacity utilization can be expected across all four divisions this year. Earnings in the individual divisions were encouraging in 2013. Paint and assembly systems, application technology, and clean technology systems all posted strong gains, with paint and assembly systems exceeding our goals substantially. This also reflects significant improvements in internal processes. Application technology also delivered a strong improvement thanks to full capacity utilization and improved order quality. Measuring and process technology suffered from weaker demand in general industry and the loss of 5 million euro in our cleaning business. Despite startup costs for the new energy efficiency business, earnings in clean technology systems improved strongly. Ladies and gentlemen, page 19 shows why we are focusing so strongly on the emerging markets. 75% of the growth in global automobile production until 2018 will be generated by those emerging markets. Industry experts predict that market volumes are set to grow more strongly over the next 5 years than in the past 5 years. And in the last 5 years, world production of light vehicles increased by a total of 16 million units. Between now and 2018, it is forecasted to grow by 22 million units. Even Europe is expected to grow in the next years, albeit from a low level. Analysts also expect an ongoing resurgence of the North American market, but at a lower pace. Nevertheless, as U.S. automotive OEMs are operating at high capacity utilization, further expansion spending and modernization spending is planned for the American market. The Chinese market will remain the driving force behind the automobile industry, with growth of 9 million units expected until 2018. Southeast Asia is clearly becoming the next growth region, and we positioned ourselves there in 2012 with the foundation of a new Dürr company in Thailand, which has by now successfully established itself. We will make further investments in this region to benefit from its dynamic development. And looking ahead over the next 5 years, average GDP growth should come to around 6% in this region, with automobile production expanding by an annual rate of more than 8%. By 2018, automobile production in this region should stand at 6.6 million above the level of Germany. Let's turn now to page 20. Modernization business is growing in importance for Dürr. Many plants in the mature markets have by now reached an age which renders extensive modernization necessary from an economic point of view and also a quality point of view. New Dürr technologies with rising automation have substantially lowered unit costs, and we expect this business to grow particularly against the backdrop of OEM's good cash flow situation. Service business will benefit heavily from the expanded installed bases of the past few years. We have launched a service initiative in 2013 with over 40 projects to enhance our customer focus and to grow this business. We want to achieve roughly 25% share in sales from service business in 2015 and, looking further down the road, aim to wind this towards 27%, maybe 28%. Moving on to page 21 on the handout, our outlook for Dürr in 2014 remains positive. Dürr entered 2014 with a large order backlog of 2.15 billion. Project inquiries from the automobile industry remain strong. Dürr is targeting an order intake of 2.3 to 2.5 billion and sales revenues of 2.4 to 2.5 billion. We expect the EBIT margin to come in at between 8.0 and 8.5%. And this guidance obviously is given under the assumption that economic conditions remain stable as it looks from today's perspective. And the strong cash flow in 2013 benefited from unusually high progress billings and prepayments at the end of the year and is not likely to be repeated in 2014. Adjusted for the non-recurring high payments in the final quarter of 2013, cash flow from operating activities and free cash flow will reach high levels again in 2014. Reported cash flow from operating activities, however, will decline substantially, while reported free cash flow could dip minimally into negative territory. We expect to return to strongly positive cash flow and free cash flow figures in 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, before inviting you to place your questions, I would like to provide you with a brief summary. And 2013 turned out better than we had expected in profitability and cash generation and was the most profitable year in Dürr's history. Recent forecasts show that the automobile industry will grow more strongly in the next 5 years than it did over the past 5 years. Modernization and service business may grow at a faster rate than greenfield business. And for 2014, we expect a continuation of our performance with sales growth of up to 5% and at least stable earnings with an EBIT margin of between 8 and 8.5%. So that
I think that's so far, and we would like to hand back to... No, we can maybe just for further information, like last year, there will be no press and analyst call when we publish our annual report on March 18th. It will be in the net. Our year-end closing is already stable enough for us to be able to give you most of the key figures today. And we will be pleased anyway to answer any further questions you might have about the annual report over the phone after it is published on March 18th. Or you join us at our Investors Day in Bietigheim-Bissingen during our open house, which will take on the 9th of May. At this Investors Day, we will be presenting our strategy going forward and giving you a live impression of our latest product innovations. So now we are ready to take your questions, and I would like to hand over to Mrs. Pavis.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Ingo Schachel, Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one would be regarding your net cash position. Of course, you did mention that you have not yet made any decisions regarding the refinancing steps you want to take. However, maybe you can already give us an update regarding two points. First of all, regarding M&A, whether there's anything more specific that you see for the first half of this year. And also, just very broadly regarding your corporate bond, I think at least in the past you have outlined that you generally thought it made sense for Dürr to have a smaller corporate bond outstanding. I was just wondering whether you can confirm that or whether that view has changed a little bit given the stronger than expected cash flow. The second question would be regarding the outlook. You are, I think the order intake and revenue guidance is pretty much in line with the market was expecting. On the margin side, it also seems to be in line, nevertheless, after the very strong Q4 performance. You are essentially guiding for flat margins. Can you give us a bit more color as to why you would not expect margins to be a bit higher? I would say measuring process systems should almost certainly be a bit higher. So I was just wondering which factors you see in the other areas which could cause margins to be only flat. Are you expecting higher R&D or SG&A expenses there, or is it just to have a buffer of safety regarding the project execution and payment assembly systems? And lastly, only very briefly on the order intake and measuring and process systems, which looks a bit weak in the fourth quarter of 2013. Can you just give us a very rough indication as to whether that's primarily cleaning filtration systems or also balancing systems related, and whether you expect an improvement for that segment at order intake already in Q1?
Yeah, Mr. Schachel, Ralf Heuwing, on net cash, the first question on M&A, we are actively looking into the market, and over the last several quarters, I think we have also been recognized as a potential player, so we also receive a good amount of potential deals. There's nothing to be announced as yet, but you can be certain that we are actively reviewing opportunities. We don't feel a pressure, and we want to stay as disciplined on the use of cash as we have been in the past. So deals also have to be value accretive. On a potential bond issue, as you know, we have an opportunity to call the current bond outstanding in September 2014. That is certainly an option. But we are also looking at refinancing opportunities right now. As I said, decisions haven't been made, but it's very obvious that both the market conditions are favorable, as well as the Dürr, let's say, shadow rating has developed very favorably, and our net cash position obviously helps a potential refinancing. I would say stay tuned on this issue. Once we've made decisions, we will announce them immediately.
Dan Ralf-Dieter speaking, Mr. Schachel, order intake NPS. You're right, it was lower in eco, also in cleaning and filtration, as well as in balancing business in the industrial area, as we wrote. In EcoClean, this was definitely our strategy, because we, part of the restructuring is that we don't do some specific business anymore in automation area, particularly in the U.S. So that was a clear plan to reduce that. In balancing, that was only the industrial part, which was expected, but at the same time we had very strong increases in filling and in end-of-line automation. So we see and we expect for the first quarter that this will stay on the level or even better than it has turned out at the end. So that's, we see that positive. On your margin question, I can only remind you that our margin guidance was always called conservative, and we would like to keep it like that.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Ben Weyer, UBS.
Yeah, it's Ben Weyer from UBS here. A couple of questions from my side as well. First one is also relating to your margin outlook. I think you've also said in an interview that you've now reached kind of the top, but I guess it's also fair to assume that the service share, as you also described, will rise further nicely this year and next year. So from that one alone, there should be further tailwind. Or was it, if you look at the order intake that you've achieved 2013, given that it was a bit weaker, did you see less favorable prices, or would you say that prices overall has been fairly stable? The second question is regard to your backlog. I was just wondering if you could can kind of announce the amount of cancellations that you had in the backlog, because theoretically I would have arrived at 2.3 billion, you had 2.15, so I assume that's not only currency. And then lastly, the question also on your revenue guidance for this year. If I look at the backlog development, you have a headwind of 170 million going into this year. And if you look at the order intake guidance, you forecast a maximum 100 increase. So that would give me a net negative of roughly 70 million. So is it that you expect orders with a shorter lead time this year, or are you going to deplete the backlog a little bit further during the year to achieve that sales guidance? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Weyer, you're speaking. Your last question, I think we are very early in the year. We have to see. This to answer now would be a little bit too early. We gave an order intake guidance, and we can only look at a very healthy pipeline, which gives us a room of that guidance, and I think we can touch better on your question in the after the first or second quarter. The backlog cancellation, this was an customer which in history always tried to negotiate when he was awarding a new large paint shop. He always liked to negotiate the next one, which he had not planned yet, but he wanted to buy a bundle. And this exactly has happened, that this customer is a Chinese one who has now overcapacity, and he canceled this idea of the second plant, which he doesn't need. So this is nothing to worry for us. It was just a negotiation point of view in the first place, and you're totally right. That was the difference in the backlog.
But that was worth around about 100, or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And on the rest, then currency impact probably on the backlog, right?
Yeah,
there must have been some impact.
That's true. Yeah. You know, if a customer, you negotiate 100 million, then he says to the Chinese, what if I buy 200 million? And then you negotiate 200, not knowing when the 200 is coming here. That has happened, and we canceled that because we didn't see when we realized that. Pricing-wise, you know, in our business, it's always tough, and our purchasing people on the customer side always try and manage to keep us all here in a tight situation. I would not see, or I don't see, that something has in fundamentally changed compared to the last 12 months.
So that wouldn't be any sort of worry for the margin going forward. So if indeed we can focus on the benefit that you get from the higher service share, right?
I understand the background of your question. Let me say it like that. It's always a worry because it's always tough, but we try to manage that as best as we can. But there are sometimes projects which are in strategic markets where then the competition is very high and maybe not as comfortable as in 2012. But overall, I don't see a big change here.
Understood. Thank you.
A pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Tim Rokoffer, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. I would have three as well, please, and if okay, I will just ask them one by one. So the first one, maybe in your press release this morning, you highlighted a very weak demand in Europe. One can obviously say that demand there was certainly not great, but what I find most disappointing and much more worth highlighting is your order intake in your single most important market, and that's certainly China. So now we obviously know order intake can be very volatile from one quarter to the next. That's all well understood. But even when you look at it as a whole year for 2013, it was significantly down over 2012. Can you please share some more details on this? Is this really just something that you expected and that's going to change? Or have we now reached a point where OEMs really just say that they want to utilize their existing capacity before building even more? And also, if China growth is coming down, given your market position in that market, shouldn't we assume that your mix in the next couple of years is going to turn a bit more negative? That's the first question.
Okay, big question. First of all, 650 million as order intake level in China is half of the company of 2009. So I think we have to discuss what level we are discussing here. Yeah. So it is absolutely clear that in 2011 and in 2012 there was an order intake boom in China to catch up with the capacity, because you see the sales figures, 15-20% growth rates of this installed base of car production means millions of cars every year more. There was, after all these investments being executed and installed in the last 2 years, definitely a lower level of investment here in 2013, but from our perspective still on a high level. And what we see, what is in the pipeline, there is enough business to get this number 650 or more, even more. So we don't see that as a trend or as a something which we will now see for the years to come. What share China will have in some years from now, this is difficult to predict, but I would say it will not change much.
Okay. And then maybe also on something you said initially, that some of your customers just postponed a few orders which you expected for 2013, now rather happening in 2014. It's a very normal pattern we saw in your company a couple of times already, and I think that's very normal in the overall industry.
Let me explain that, because it's not order intake. We talked about sales. We talked about sales. This is about order execution, and we have to anticipate that, particularly in emerging markets, sometimes the erection of a building, which we are not doing, the customer himself, very often has delays of 4, 6, 10, 12 weeks, sometimes even 4 or 5 months. And that makes us difficult to realize the revenue. And that was has happened in 2013. If I take this 4 or 5 projects where this took place, the revenue difference was easily 50-100 million.
Okay, but I guess it comes down to the same question that I wanted to raise. Why don't you then expect more growth in 2014 than in 2013? I mean, your guidance now is 2.4 to 2.5. Last year it was 2.4 to 2.6. If you saw some of the sales which you already expected for last year not materializing, that should be the case this year. Is there then something else we don't see, or something in your order intake which makes you a bit more nervous?
No, we are not nervous. And if you ask me this question again after the first quarter, I can give you a more precise answer. It's too early in the year.
Okay.
But as you know, we would like to get to what we are committing and not the opposite.
Okay, fair enough. And then as a very final question, I've heard a couple of times from the industry now that Eisenmann with their e-scrub product is getting much more competitive compared to the Eco Dry Scrubber. And when we look at some plants like Daimler, Tuscaloosa, BMW and Spartanburg, Eisenmann has at least done a bit better in 2013 than in previous years in terms of order wins, in particular in the one market where you grew your order intake last year and where you now say replacement demand is kicking in. Is this a wrong assessment in your view, or if not, what do you do to counteract this, or will this be part of the capital markets day in May then? Thank you.
First of all, I don't comment our competitors, but I give you one number that you are not getting nervous about, what you have got as information.
Eisenmann sold now 3 or 4 times this tri-scrubber system they have, and they didn't sell it anymore. We sold in the meantime 35, 40 systems, just to get an idea. So we are always happy when our competitor is doing well, but we don't see any change on that side.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Jürgen Pieper, Metzler Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi gentlemen. I have two quick questions. The first one is the delay. Mr. Dieter, you commented on 2 times now in the fourth quarter. You obviously missed some sales as you described it. And could that mean, and also having in mind that I think the first quarter has 1 or 2 more working days this year, there's a little seasonal effect. Could that mean that the first quarter is benefiting more than usually from these delays? And also we had in 2013 a rather weak first quarter. Could that mean that the sales momentum is pretty positive and maybe more positive than in the remaining 3 quarters? And secondly, very quick on the tax rate, Mr. Heuving, you mentioned, I think if I understood it correctly, there's still some tax loss carry forwards. Do we have the same kind of tax rate as in 2013, or is it a little higher in 2014?
Mr. Pieper, Ralf speaking. I understand your question, but please also understand that we don't start to give now quarterly forecasts.
Okay.
But let's say your assumption is not totally wrong.
Okay.
But how right it is, I don't know yet.
Just to understand the tendency, you say that it's not completely wrong, probably.
Yeah, but you know, we have always these delays. It happens always. So it's a little bit the kind of underlying business. But let's say our planning was last year more revenue because of the delays, which was then if I take your picture, let's say you could be right that it's maybe better or most likely better than last year's first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Pieper, on your tax rate question, yes, we still have tax loss carry forwards which are not in our books. Mm-hmm. That's a usable volume of maybe 50 million euros.
Mm-hmm.
And however, some of that is in countries where it will take some more time to realize those benefits. And so, for example, France. But we estimate our tax rate in 2014 to be somewhere between 27% and 28%,
mm-hmm.
slightly higher than 2000.
A little higher. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Christian Kort, Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. First, on cleaning and filtration, is the turnaround done or should we expect any more measures in the course of the year? And then if not, you mentioned a 5 million loss, I think, in the filtration business. So assuming a turnaround and a slight positive margin, we should get an EBIT swing of, let's say, 8 to 10 million. Why is this not reflected in your margin guidance? Is this also simply due to a conservative approach, or is it something we miss? Secondly,
the answer is yes.
Okay, good. Then secondly, on the competitive environment in China, you mentioned a weaker business environment. With regards to competition, I think you had a 70% or 80% market share in China. Is this dominant position still in place, or you see more competition arising? And then follow up on China. Last year, the market grew, I think vehicle production grew with roughly 20%. Shouldn't there be any catch-up effects with regards to production planning of the automotive OEMs? And lastly, last year, at the release of the preliminary figures, you provided us also with a dividend proposal. You haven't done this year. Is there a particular reason? And very lastly, one more, sorry, with regards to cash flow, if I take a look, your free cash flow was 267 million in the fourth quarter. Your cash position changed just by 211 million. So there is roughly 55 million left. Is this the buying the minorities for Agramco, or what else did you do? Did you repay debt?
Okay, Mr. Roth, I start with the questions. So in China, our market share is as you mentioned, and we will do everything to defend that. But the market share for itself is not our main goal. For sure, our success in China is is ambitious. Is basically creating ambitiousness in our competitors' environment. But I think we are here so well positioned and in many aspects far ahead, so that we are not frightened about that. The increase in production, and you're totally right, that was maybe in total it's 20% out of a base of nearly 20 million is 4 million cars. We had so many orders in 2012, 11, 12, and 13 that was more in capacity being built at the moment from Dürr than the market was growing. So yes, there's not to expect a catch-up effect. What we expect now is that by continuation of this good car sales figures that our customers now just finalizing the new plants and starting to utilize them have to come back and think and discuss with us the next plants. And that's what we see. Yeah, that's what we see.
Okay.
On dividend, no, you don't have to fear that we're not paying dividends. It's just the point that our supervisory board actually sits on the 17th of March and we take a decision on that day and then propose the dividend. But we have a dividend policy, so you can safely assume that we'll be between 30% and 40% and we will take into consideration what payout we had last year. With respect to the cash position, please note that the cash does not include term deposits and medium-term money, so you have to add that. And also, we spent about 35 million euros combined on Agramco and LTB to acquisitions of 2013.
Can you repeat that figure?
35 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Carsten Dienken, ACB. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Just a few questions. Just to understand, could you elaborate a bit on the quality of the order backlog today compared to how it looked like 12 months ago?
Sorry, can you just repeat your question compared to last year?
Yes, can you please elaborate on the quality of the order backlog today compared to how it looked like 12 months ago?
Yes, I can. Basically, we see it quite in the same situation.
Okay. And next question is the service business, if I understand correct, is expected to increase in 14 versus 13?
Yes. As it did in the last years, we had an average growth rate in the service business of 14% over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And we see a potential to further increase that.
Okay. And my next question, is there any trade-off between margins and prepayments?
This is not the case because this was maybe in times many years ago when we had not much cash and some customers tried to get more discount if they give us cash. Today, sometimes they're disappointed when we say we don't need more down payment to give them discount. So that's to our favor now, our cash situation.
And the geographical mix have no negative effect on your margins, I guess, because, I mean, given the fact that the U.S. now accounts for more than it did last year and Germany accounts for less, does the geographical mix affect your margins in any way?
No, not in particular, not in the paint shop business where our customers are itself global and comparing global pricing, though that's not the case.
Okay. So based on what you're saying here, it's difficult for me to understand that you should have flat margins for 2014. In my point of view, you should be able to expand your margins in 2014.
Yeah, why don't we discuss that in the third quarter call?
Okay. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward.
Me too.
Thank you very much. That was it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Jasko Persic, DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, some questions left from my side. The first one is regarding emerging markets, in particular Southeast Asia. The turmoil here, does they have any mid to short-term effect from your view, or does the business have changed in the recent months? For you in particular, if I looked at Indonesia as guiding down their GDP growth rates, etc., and you were mentioning Thailand as one growth perspective, so could you share your thoughts on or experience recently here on this? And the second question goes for the M&A. If you find no target, because I assume it's difficult to find one, might consider distributing back more money to shareholders than what you have done in the past? And finally, for the MPS business, as I understood it correctly, you were more optimistic regarding the order performance in 2014, but you were mentioning a weaker general industry. So could you again highlight the driver for seeing a better performance in MPS in 2014?
Okay, first of all, Southeast Asia. We don't look at Southeast Asia, from a short-term view. There are 600 million people, increasing GDP, increasing GDP per capita, and this whole automotive industry in that region has been, in the past, taken over by the Japanese OEMs, where we are not so much present as we would like to be. So that gives us an opportunity to, first of all, serve Japanese customers. Second, also the Western OEMs, some of them are longer there, like Ford or GM, have discovered that this region is to their importance, and that's why we want to be early in this region, to be present like we do in South Africa, where nobody else is present than us, to capture this opportunity coming up. And we discussed with Western OEMs and with many of them how to increase and to establish or to expand their capacity in Southeast Asia. So this is for us a middle-term thing, and we will do more in Southeast Asia because I think it's a great opportunity. But not a quarter-to-quarter thing. The impact on the Thailand demonstrations from our business at the moment is basically zero, because business goes on. The M&A side, we have targets, so you don't need to worry that we don't find them, but we, as Ralf Heuwing already underlined, we have no hurry. But we should not anticipate that we would use some of the cash to give it back to the shareholder. From today's perspective, I think we have other ideas to use that for the benefit of the company. And on the MPS side, as I said, the EcoClean order intake, so that's one part of MPS, that's from a strategic point of view with intention lower, and we see that in 2014 on the level we would like to see that. The industrial business part from the balancing business was a little bit weaker last year. We have signs that it's picking up due to the overall better economic situations around the globe. So, but that will be not huge numbers, yeah. But it should be better. That's our expectation today. But again, I know more in summer. Yeah, it's a bit early to judge that after 1 month.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two more questions. The next one comes from Luca Orsini, One Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you very much for taking my question. You mentioned during your presentation that the internalization of the business went from 27 to 29 in the course of 2013. The first question is, where do you see internalization going in 2014 or eventually in 2015 or eventually even further to that? If I may ask the question one by one, it's easier for me.
Okay, so the insourcing percentage, yeah, I think we have taken the measures to insource maybe 30%, but we don't expect a rise of 2, 3, 4, 5%. So I think 30% is a good number.
So there is another 1% coming this year?
I didn't understand, sorry.
Another 1%.
So there is another 1 percentage point of internalization coming in 2014?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be, yes.
Okay. Then the second, the other question I had was on, because if I were to ask you, in 2013, you had an increase in your EBIT margin, by and large, circa 1% every quarter, with an acceleration in the fourth quarter. And my question is, how much of that margin expansion was due to internalization? How much was doing for service? How much was coming from mix? And how much from coming from none of the three, which are many other things where you can increase the margins? But I think that the three drivers should be the one that I've mentioned. And just to get a sense, you understand my question?
Yes, we know that it comes from all these drivers, and you have well spotted them out. But in percentage, I can't tell you. We don't have this available. But we know that the service margin were better. We know that the internalization or insourcing creates higher margins. That's clear. But how much, I don't know.
So in 2014, we still should have some tailwind from the annualization of the internalization and the further point, which should carry on. Because because internalization will happen throughout the year, and the service growth should be the service as a percentage of mix should increase. So we have a nice starting point from I know you don't want to say that your margin, I don't know if you that you don't want to say on margin. I was just trying to get it from the other side. All what you say bodes very well for the margin in 2014. Can you tell me what you see as a negative for the margin in 2014? What kind of headwinds do you think you will have on the margins in 2014?
I mean, the first part of your question was, you painted this picture of the elements of the margin could have tailwind, and we can follow that picture in principle, no doubt. And headwind, I mean, this is always the same headwind. I don't see a particular one in 2014. It's always tough competition in our business, and depends on the projects, but I have no special worry about something in that perspective.
Yes. And in terms of, again, the dividend is a matter of the board, as you have highlighted, but in terms of how the management sees the dividend, which is obviously something that the board normally should take in some kind of consideration, given that you have even pre-prepayment, if you allow me, you still generate even more profits than you have a cash conversion which is greater than one. Wouldn't that make sense to take the payout above the 40%, maybe to something like the 50%, given that the debt is pretty low?
Mr. Orsini, we believe in continuity and reliability in our relations with shareholders. And so we have a dividend policy. We would like to stay within that business, in that dividend policy, because we believe that whatever we retain in the company, we can indeed invest either in our organic business or into acquisitions. And should we come to a different conclusion at any point in the future, we may then therefore also change the dividend policy. But we don't believe that we have reached that point. And the management's view is that we will take into account that policy and also the payout ratio of last year and the year before, and we would like to provide you with continuity there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. We have two more questions. The next one comes from Mr. Peter Roteneicher, Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Some questions regarding your segments. It was very positive that the MPS result in the fourth quarter was set strong with almost 12% margin. Was there a special effect in, or what was the reason for this very favorable outcome? And on the other hand, on the corporate center and consolidation line, there was almost a zero, so no loss in the segment. What can we see here going forward? So for 2013, there was a minus 7. Is this also a fair assumption for the next years? Next question, you mentioned you have bought shares, the missing shares of Agramco. Does that mean that in the future the minority's position will be relatively close to zero, only a minor amount as well? Then regarding the interest result, you mentioned again that you are intending to buy back your bond. Will there be a one-off charge effect? I think you can buy to 100%, but are there any depreciations on capitalized things? And the last question, once again, regarding China. So if I think back the conference call in fall last year, you were relatively optimistic regarding your Chinese business coming up major new projects, and I think you mentioned that it's possible to generate perhaps four to five new plants. Is this still a view that is valid, or are you here a bit more cautious?
So, regarding China, I'm not more cautious. I'm still optimistic, and I think I explained already that we see 2014 as minimum as 2013, if not better. The MPS, it was 9.8% in the final quarter, but yes, this is not a special effect, that's increased performance. Yes, always the quarter four is very strong, but that's why we are very optimistic regarding, no, you're right, I just had the wrong number, you're right, it was 12%. That's why we see that the MPS and the EcoGreen, as mentioned, which still made losses, but EcoGreen consists out of three business lines, and two of them were actually very profitable. And the last one, where we had also some write-offs, which were damaging the results, will not occur again in 2014 to that extent at all. So I think we are here on a positive track, which we see in 2014 to come.
On minorities and the bond, you are absolutely right. The purchase of the remaining shares of Agramco reduces the importance of minorities, so they will be small going forward unless we continue to make M&A with less than 100%. On the bonds, no, there will not be any one-offs, and even if we change our syndicated loan agreement, there will not be one-offs of any significance, because we provided for that already in the past. And remember that we issued the second tranche of our bond at 104.8, so there's actually a positive effect that is distributed over time.
Okay, and the consolidation line?
Yeah. Well, in the fourth quarter, we obviously we readjust our charges, management charges, R&D charges, etc., in the group based on actuals. And so, therefore, there can be positive or negative effects, and that's basically balanced out in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next to last question comes from Mr. Stefan Augustin. Please go ahead.
Yes, actually, I have a couple of questions. The first one is, if you would compare your project pipeline at the moment versus, let's say, 3 months ago, would you say that it is at least at the same level? That means you see as much projects coming up to the market as are currently taken off from you or your competitors? Or is
yes.
it actually improving?
The answer is yes.
Or is it actually a little bit improving?
The answer is I said, yes, it's better than 3 months ago.
Okay. The second one would be, just to confirm, you had negative one-offs from EcoGreen in Q4.
No, that's not correct.
Okay.
In fact, we had almost even result in Q4 in EcoGreen. In the line other income and expenses, yeah, but not in the EBIT lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a question to the competitive behavior. If you have a market where at a certain point, let's say China, the project or let's say the turnover is not that much, do you see that, let's say, a thinning out of a project pipeline somewhere regionally, instantly it puts a pressure on the pricing from your competitors? AJ, do you think your competitors have some unused capacities?
Yes, and they had also unused capacity in 2013 and in 2012, because our position was very good, yeah? And our objective always was, and we have achieved that, that in terms of costs we are leading, and therefore we have, let's say, the position to even be in a tough price battle and still have a good margin at the end, yeah?
Okay. A very last one.
But another explanation, which is also important to understand, is 8 years ago, 5 years ago, a regional underutilization in the market would have led to such a situation you mentioned. But today we can work with our people worldwide in any market. So if, let's say, the Brazilian team is not very busy, we can use them in Spain or we can use them in Russia. And the same applies for our teams in China. China today already works for the world. There are many projects where China supplies we have, or India where we have our engineering center. So a local, let's say, temporary lack of demand does not lead to a situation that we are fighting for every business.
Okay, fine. And the last one is just a little curiosity. When it comes to your service businesses and the revamps and some smaller modernizations, do you pitch these smaller projects versus the CapEx department or the OEM or versus the people who run the plant?
Normally both, because when the exceeds, and it's very early, some 100,000 euro exceeding, then it's already going to the capital purchase department.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The last question comes from Mr. Luca Orsini, One Investment. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thanks for getting my last one. Maybe it has been discussed because I've been cut off at one stage. Can you tell us anything about how businesses have been starting in Q1 of this current 2014?
We don't talk about Q1. It has just started, and we don't give Q1 guidance here today. Please understand, we talk about last year's figure and the outlook.
Okay, thank you, and keep up.
Thank you. We try and we'll do.
Thank you. We don't have any further questions at the moment.
It's good that it means that we have handled everything, and I would like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for the interest in our conference call today. And I would like to remind you that we have an investor day on the March 9th here in Bietigheim Bissing. Sorry, May 9th, not March. That would be too early to come, yeah? That would be not ready. So May 9th in 2014, and we would like to invite you all, and would be happy to receive you here in our headquarters. For today, thank you very much, and have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.